Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life, and today we're talking about Catholicism in decline.
We are talking about it
with
voice sounding like this.
What's going on?
Wow.
How do you feel about that? It's Bethany was teasing me. It's twice a year. Twice a year something happens.
Yeah.
Allergies or something.
It could be AI over your voice.
Yeah, this actually, you don't even know if I'm here. Yeah. This could be just all a bot.
This is AI Bob.
I preached a sermon like this, what was that, 2 months ago, Dusty? It was concerning.
But and I brought you a glass of water in the middle of the sermon. Did.
Thank you for that. It was a blessing.
It was a bold move, but...
Yeah, it was. It, you know, walking forward in the middle of a church service is kind of a scary moment.
Yeah.
Scary for me because I'm like, why is this person walking toward me? And scary for you because you're like, the whole room's just looking at me.
A friend said, how did you know that he just needed water? I was like, well, we've been doing this a long time.
I
knew
Bob's
it was water
cues.
Time.
Dusty, you read my nonverbals very well. We want to talk about another angle on the Pew Religious Landscape study, which we mentioned in an episode 3 or 4 episodes ago. We talked about this Pew Landscape study, and then an article came out in World Magazine at the end of March, picking up on an angle of that study that I hadn't noticed in the data, but Stephen Wedgeworth noticed it and wrote about it. And I thought, well, that's actually really interesting because of where we live in the world. So for you listeners outside of Omaha, Nebraska is 49% Catholic. Highly, highly Catholic town, which means most of our mission, there's always former Catholics in our church, current Catholics in our church, sometimes people who have been part of our church who are now converting to Catholicism. There's a lot of interplay between our sort of historic Protestant sensibilities and a highly Catholic city. And I know we're not the only people like that. Boston is like that. There's a lot of Philadelphia. There's a lot of cities in America that have that same sort of deeply Catholic sort of ethos or history, and where we are doing, you know, mission within that context. And so one of the features of the religious landscape study that Stephen Wedgeworth identified is that the Catholic Church is having some significant challenges with decline as well. And I thought that was an interesting thing to talk about because I hadn't noticed it. You guys remember when we did the podcast, I had all these stats about like, hey, here's the biggest denomination and, you know, here's the denominations that are shrinking. I just always pay attention to the Protestant data, not so much to the Catholic data, but the Catholic data matters.
And you definitely can feel that decline or that, decline, I guess, in our own city, like just in conversations, you can see it kind of happening. I think in 2010, you can't hold me to this, but I think it was 63%. Of our city claim to be Catholic. So we feel that in our own context.
I've tried to buy 2 Catholic church buildings. You're not surprised.
No.
Neither of them was in the right neighborhood exactly. But there have been a couple parishes that have closed down. And so, yeah, we definitely have seen that. Let me read a few excerpts from this little short article by Stephen Wedgeworth with the excellent title, Mass Exodus.
So clever.
Well played.
Get it?
Well played.
Stephen Wedgeworth writes, the 2023-24 Pew Religious Landscape Study has given us a lot to talk about. The headline takeaways are that Christianity continues to decline in the United States, but at a slower pace than anticipated. Secondly, the study shows that more conservative elements of American Christianity are holding steady, whereas liberal Christianity is dying outright. These are important points that, while not unequivocally good news, still defy many common talking points about the state of conservative Christianity and evangelicalism. The study also gives us one more discourse correction. Roman Catholicism is not thriving in America. Apart from gains from immigration, the Catholic Church is following the same path as the Protestant mainline. It's losing members at a dramatic pace. For every adult who joins a Christian church, this is a bad stat, y'all. For every adult who joins a Christian church, Protestant or Catholic, 6 adults leave.
Wow.
But when we take a closer look, this problem is disproportionately coming from one particular tradition, Roman Catholicism. whereas Protestantism, including both evangelical and mainline varieties, loses 1.8 members compared to every new edition. Roman Catholicism loses 8.4 members for every new edition. That's an astounding rate of loss. So that's an interesting stat right there, that for every one person who joins the Catholic Church, 8.4 people leave. That's an interesting data point. And so he asked, why would that be the case? What does the data show us? The first thing it shows us is that weekly attendance at Mass has gone down. Younger people are less likely than their parents and grandparents to attend Mass on a weekly basis. Here's an interesting second answer to the why question. Despite their divergent teachings on the subject, Catholics and Protestants have the same rate of fertility. Compared to evangelical Protestants, the Catholic rate is slightly lower. Once again, we can see that U.S. Catholicism is not a growing church. His point is, one of the ways the church grows is just by replacing itself through childbearing, and Catholics used to be known for having really huge families, but actually now their families are slightly smaller than your evangelical Protestant family size, which makes sense if you've been around Coram Deo or First City. That was supposed to be a joke, but you guys didn't laugh. What about those? Okay, the article goes on to say, what about high-profile Protestant converts to Catholicism? Doesn't this signal a larger spiritual movement? No. While it is true that certain academics and media personalities have left their Protestant churches for Roman Catholicism, the national statistics still point in the opposite direction. Only 2% of Americans who were raised Protestant are now Catholic, whereas 14% of childhood Catholics are now Protestant. While good for the headlines, conversions from Protestantism to Catholicism are blips on the national map. So the question is, well then, if that's all true, how come we don't see a decline in Roman Catholic identification across the nation? His answer is immigration. 43% of Roman Catholics in America are either immigrants or the children of immigrants. So he's basically saying, what keeps the Catholic Church at the same percentage across years and decades is that a lot of immigrants, especially from the South, are Catholic. And so basically, American Catholicism is declining, but it gets replaced by new people coming to America who are already Catholic. And so he ends this article by noting this, that actually the greatest threat to the church in America, and we've talked about this on a previous podcast, is the lack of catechizing our own kids and students. The loss of its own young people is what he says is the greatest threat to the church, both in its Catholic and Protestant expressions. When asked if parents pray or read scripture with their children, only 44% of Catholics said they do. Mainline Protestant parents are worse, with only 41%. But for evangelicals, the number is 72%. Evangelicals also registered higher when it comes to Sunday school and religious education throughout the week. This appears to be one of the more decisive elements for spiritual durability among Christian traditions, and it is one that parents can take and put into practice. Making religion real bears real fruit. He goes on to conclude this way, the Catholic Church's membership drop is not unique. There's nothing inherent to Catholicism that should cause it to fail in modern America. Rather, its problem is the same that so many other churches have had in America. Christian parents are not imparting the faith to their children. They are not personally investing themselves in the daily lives of their children. The Sunday religion is not permeating the home. In the absence of this basic family discipleship, the unbelief of modern American life will take over. So, friends, I think one of the interesting things there is that the data shows the one thing evangelical Christians, whether you like that label or don't like that label, the one thing that the statistics show that we do well is stuff in the home. Discipling kids, reading the Bible with kids, praying with kids, trying to make the household a place of spiritual formation. And to the extent that that happens well, you generally see good fruit in terms of how it's passed on from generation to generation. Whereas your more mainline Protestants and a lot of Roman Catholics are not being as diligent in that regard.
Reading this article, I mean, I don't know if I have like super profound thoughts, but something that stood out to me is the power of perception, that in so many ways, there's this perception that evangelical, the evangelical church is the church like in this great crisis. And yeah, there's some trends that have been upsetting and sad in some ways. But if you look kind of side by side compared to other traditions, there is still a robust strength to the evangelical tradition. So this is not like, you know, to take a victory lap, but just when you start to kind of dig into some of these numbers, you see, hey, perception is not reality often. And so while we still should take, you know, things seriously, it's helpful when you're kind of like, hey, there's oftentimes a narrative that is out there that isn't 100% accurate. The second thing is, you know, having had a lot of conversations with, either Roman Catholics or, I have some friends who were, you know, evangelical and have become Catholic. I know people who are kind of wrestling through that. And so there is this perception of the strength of the Catholic Church over and above the strength of the evangelical church. And I think, again, people have different experiences, but this shows that, hey, that narrative is coming from somewhere and does not accurately reflect what's happening wide throughout the country. So these are just kind of some interesting thoughts about the power of perception.
Catholic apologists have always been very active. I think right now, especially on YouTube and social media, that you see really good energy being put forward by some Catholic apologists toward converting Protestants to Catholicism. And that's always been, ever since I was in college, there's a segment of the Catholic Church that does that really well. And so what I've noticed is he mentions, I can't remember what his language was, but there's a sense in which like celebrities and intellectuals at an unusual rate seem to move from Protestantism to Catholicism. And I think that's true. I remember, I mean, this might be before your time, Chris, I don't know, but Francis Beckwith, who's a professor at Baylor.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
was
yeah,
the
yeah.
president of the Evangelical Theological Society.
Yeah.
And then converted to Catholicism like the year after he was president. And it was like a major thing. And he was like, this guy's supposed to be like the evangelical theologian. And so there are these high profile moves. And I think it does tend to be, some of it is an intellectual movement. I think there's if you think about novelists like Graham Greene and Flannery O'Connor, like there's a literary and intellectual life in Catholicism that traditionally hasn't been the same in Protestant, especially American Protestantism. So there's a way that exerts some tug on people, and it feels a little bit more, quote unquote, respectable if you're a public figure to be Catholic than to be an evangelical, because we all know evangelical has, you know, certain connotations that come with it.
Yeah.
But to your point, perception isn't reality. The perception when you see a Francis Beckwith or, you know, a person who's sort of well-known in society who becomes Catholic, it sort of feels like, oh, that's a big deal. But the data shows, yeah, that's not happening very frequently. Actually, it's much more common that in your neighborhood and in your city, people who grew up Roman Catholic are actually moving toward Protestantism. And I think there's a reason for that as well.
Yeah, yeah, which plays out in our churches. I mean, we have far more people that have come out of Catholicism in our church than people who have left our church to join Catholicism.
Yeah, I was thinking about those stats, the 2% of Americans who were raised Protestant are now Catholic, whereas 14% of childhood Catholics are now Protestant. That's definitely played out in our churches. And I can count on one hand how many people have gone towards Catholicism from our church in the last 15 years. But I would need a whiteboard to talk the other way.
Yeah. It's interesting. Obviously, I'm a convictional Protestant, so I think, you know, I think this movement is the right direction. I realize there will be people who listen to this podcast and they have the opposite conviction. They're like, actually, more people should become Catholic. And that's a fun debate. I enjoy, like you, Chris, I have a lot of friends who are thoughtful Catholics, and I enjoy those conversations. But I do think it is interesting that statistically, when we just think about what do we see across society and across culture, what the stats show is that Roman Catholicism is declining in a way similar to mainline Protestantism. Yeah. And that is not good for either the Catholic Church, nor is it really probably good for America in general. I actually think the mainline Protestant tradition and the Roman Catholic tradition, though I disagree with both of them theologically, they've played an important social role in American history. And so actually I don't really want them to die quickly. I think there's value in those traditions.
Yeah, and if you think of like co-belligerents in sort of cultural struggles, the Roman Catholic Church has, in many ways, has maintained a conservative theology. And so there is a reality that you know, we want, you know, if we're just kind of looking at social influence, a strong, robust Catholic Church is actually good. And we could say, you know, is a good co-belligerent for the things we want to see in society. I would say less so than a lot of mainline today because of some of the things that they've embraced.
Yeah.
So agree with you, Bob, like convictionally Protestant. And so, you know, the trends towards, you know, embracing a Protestant understanding of theology and scripture, I'm always going to, you know, champion that. But at the same time, you know, I don't celebrate this, you know, that there's a weakening of the Catholic Church.
I think of like, how I think of Catholicism more as like a, just like a huge institution in like American society. And so I think of like, what does the decline mean for like all of like the institutions that they have, like healthcare, I think primarily yes. of like, what mm-hmm. does that mean for that? And could it ever disappear completely? I don't think so, but like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought of.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if you think about, you're right that the Catholics build institutions well. And a lot of the, you know, think about the oldest colleges in our city, the oldest hospitals, you know, they're Catholic. And, you know, as well as things like orphan care or social services, you know. So there is a lot there that we want to not celebrate the decline of. But I think this is an interesting article to me, I guess on a couple different levels. One is I'm always talking with people who are working their way through these questions. Meaning, I'm always talking with people in our church who are wondering if they should become Catholic, or, you know, people who are like, hey, my friend, my uncle, my boyfriend is Catholic, but he's been coming to church with me, and he's asking questions about Protestantism or the Bible or the gospel. So I'm constantly in conversations with people wrestling through this sort of Protestant-Catholic difference. And it's, to me, I want to be both charitable and courageous in those conversations. I want to say, hey, I got no hard feelings toward Roman Catholics. And actually, I think your doctrine is wrong. And so I want to convince you that the gospel, as I think you love it, is actually present in the Protestant church in a way that it's not in the Catholic church. That's why I have this joke. I might have told this story before, so you guys can mute me if I have. But I had, years ago, I have a friend who is an artist, a very good artist, and he's Roman Catholic. And we used to have frequent debates. I mean, he was a good sort of conversation partner. And of course, if you're an artist, the Catholic Church loves art and buys a lot of art. And so he had tons of commissions from Catholic patrons and Catholic churches, and he would do really, really amazing artists. So, you know, the Catholic Church was kind of his bread and butter as well. But his whole thing was, you know, you should, once you read the church fathers, you'll become a Catholic. You know, if you actually understand that our view of the Eucharist is what the church fathers had, you know, so he actually challenged me, like, you need to go read the church fathers. So I said, great, I'll do it. So I took a sabbatical a few years back. And that was one of the things I did, is I said, give me the church fathers you want me to read. And I read them. And then I came back and talked to him about them. It was a really fun project. But the joke was, my joke with him, because he became a Christian at like a Christian concert where there was an evangelistic presentation. So he came to Christ there and then became a Catholic. I was like, hey man, everybody I know who's born again and a Catholic, it went in that order. They became born again and then they became Catholic. I don't know a whole lot of people who grew up in the Catholic tradition and were born again and understood the gospel within that tradition. It's often that they come out of that tradition, experience the gospel through a campus ministry or through an evangelistic outreach or whatever. And then because they appreciate the sort of high church expressions that Catholicism does maintain, they sort of move back in that direction. So my joke with my friend David was like, well, I don't think you'd be a Christian if it wasn't for evangelicals. Like, you might want me to read the church fathers, but I kind of want you to admit that your own story needed some evangelicals to share the gospel with you.
Yeah. It is interesting. The folks that I knew that have moved from evangelical to Catholic, and even the ones that I know that are wrestling through it, they're not going, you know, I just, the Roman Catholic view of grace and the sacraments, like, that's what's compelling to me. It's more the institutional, it's the history, it's the stability, it's
structure.
It's that kind of, the structure. And so, you know, to your point, I think But I think that's, you know, and also to your point, Bethany, I think that is the strength of the church and our society, what it offers. And so there is good to that. I mean, yeah, celebrate some of those things. And I think that is what, you know, people, what we will experience is a weakening of that more so than this robust Roman Catholic theology that is overtaking, you know, Christendom or, you know, Christianity in the United States. It's more the institutional feel.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're going to just, the, you know, the effect that we're going to see.
Can I lean into the opportunity there? Because mm-hmm. I think that's where I want to say, I mean, this has been part of the foundation of Cormdale for a long time, but that's why I think it matters that church planters and churches in general lean into actually the Protestant tradition, liturgy, creeds, yeah. hymns, worship, mm-hmm. theology, because I think what we somehow, what evangelicalism did is like, hey, let's have a black box in a strip mall with loud music and call it church. And it's just like, yeah, that's, you know, you might get some college students that way. Maybe there's a season in people's lives where that feels like new and interesting. But I think what tends to happen is when people have experienced a high sense of mystery, transcendence, beauty, which the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox traditions both do really well, probably they're not coming to your strip mall church for the next 70 years. Like they might come for mm-hmm. a few years, but there's yeah. something about that that I think is compelling because it has a connection to history. It has a connection to beauty and it has a connection to the depth of the human soul. And I want to convince every evangelical I can. Yeah. Our tradition has that. We're like Protestantism has that to it. You just need to lean into it rather than leaning into this sort of deliturgical, ahistorical, you know, three fast songs, two slow songs, a cool sermon. You know, just that's not going to do it over the long term, I don't think. That's mm-hmm. so he mentions in this article the high church versus low church connection, right? That a lot of evangelical churches tend to be low church rather than high church. And I think what compels a lot of thoughtful people back toward those more Catholic and Orthodox traditions has something to do with liturgy, beauty, transcendence, and theology. And I want to help Protestant church planters say, we have that. Yeah. Go do that.
Absolutely.
Learn your liturgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I became a Christian in the 90s and everything was assumptive about creeds and the Ten Commandments. And then we had to dress it up or fancy it up a little bit to really reach people was yeah. kind of the message. And now that can reach you for a couple of years, but people are showing up to our churches because they want depth or yes. transcendence, or they want to, you know, they will say those things. They want to go deeper with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm fascinated by the amount of people I know that are in our church who grew up Catholic. I mean, I talked to a guy on the phone last week, you know who I'm talking about, Dusty, that he's been Catholic for years. But he went through some tough stuff in his life, and he's like, man, what I like about Coram Deo is it feels familiar. Like, it's recognizably similar to what he grew up with because it's liturgical, structured. There's creeds and confessions. You know, we're singing some hymns. There's a transcendence to the worship service that he appreciates, and it's recognizable to someone who grew up in a Roman Catholic tradition. And that's what we've always said, like, yeah, it should be, because Protestantism and Roman Catholicism share the same history. Like we're part of the same tradition. We just mm-hmm. have disagreed on some very foundational doctrinal things and practice things that actually have led to a significant split. And, you know, to use John Hanna's language, as a Protestant, we think the whole history of the church is ours. We would say it's the Roman Catholics that left Orthodoxy or stepped aside into some error. I know the Catholics would say the opposite, but that's where the debate needs to be had, I think, is to say who is rightly inhabiting this tradition. Let's talk about the tradition and let's live in it and embrace it mm-hmm. rather than trying to be non-traditional.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this home piece. You mentioned this at the beginning, Bob, but only 44% of Catholic parents said that they prayed or did things in the home, while 72% of evangelicals were doing that. And that's a pretty drastic difference.
Yeah.
Do you, I would love to just hear from you guys. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because my take would be because in the Protestant evangelical lane, more can be done by parents. Whereas in the Catholic Church, there's a need for priest and a little bit of that structure that is attractive to people that also can hinder it. But I also would just say, I think it's disenchantment. I think the parents are disenchanted with the Catholic Church as well. So they're like, yeah, we do this, but we're not super into it.
Yeah.
What would you guys say to that?
I think there's a theological difference there because, as you said, in the Roman Catholic tradition, grace comes through the church. It's mediated through the church. And so the main thing is go to confession, go to Mass, be present to receive the sacraments. That's the thing Catholic kids get told. I mean, I went to Miller North High School. It was a long time ago. But all my friends were Catholic, and they all did CCD in like 8th and 9th grade. And it was this Catholic confirmation, you know?
Right.
And literally every one of them, I mean, I can count on one hand the number of people who took it seriously. Yep. The rest of them were just like, yeah, I got to go to CCD again because my dad says I have to. You know, it was just like it was like the box you had to check to do the thing that the family wanted you to do. And so, and they all complained about it. There were very few of them that were like, man, I'm really learning a lot about my theological tradition, you know? So I do think it can lead to a certain kind of passivity on the part of parents. The other thing I think you have is, you know, evangelicals have historically emphasized small group Bible study, personal prayer, quiet times, reading the scriptures, confession of sin. I mean, just it's to our credit, though there are certain things about our tradition I would say like need to be refined and reformed. To our credit, we have been very committed to like, yeah, you got to be doing this at home. And the church is not the place where all this is going to get done. It's not a substitute for the household. It's a both and. And so I think for many healthier evangelical traditions, you just have a sense of like, yeah, I gotta do this at home. I can't just offload it to the youth pastor or the student of the kids ministry.
Yeah. And along those lines, it would seem that in the past, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, the amount of resourcing that's been done has improved too. Like if you think of, and to your point, the tradition, I mean, you can find these very rich, you know, how to do family worship at home that provide some liturgies, home liturgies that are diving into some of the tradition that we have. So I even think the resourcing that the evangelical church has done on this kind of stuff has improved dramatically in the past 10 to 15 years, which has probably also helped the culture that was kind of there, as you were saying, Bob, where, yeah, you there's a private devotion, there's a family devotion that also takes place.
Bethany, do you have more friends who have become from Protestant to Catholic or more friends that have turned from Catholic to Protestant or about the same?
I think it's Protestant to Catholic.
Yeah.
I know a few Catholics who've converted, but I think it's Protestant to Catholic,
yeah.
Which I felt like that happened. That was like a really popular thing back like 2010.
Yeah.
2012, like somewhere in there. I just felt like I knew a lot of people, but I do. It's funny though. I was just thinking like I laughed because I grew up, you know, small town Nebraska, evangelical my whole entire life. And so Catholicism was
the boogeyman.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like it was. And so when we started coming to Coramdale, I told my mom, like, yeah, I was like, hey, we read like there's liturgy. She was like, that sounds too Catholic.
Run. Yeah. We get that too. We do get that. I have that conversation pretty frequently. People are like, this feels really Catholic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's one of my favorite parts of our worship.
It's one of my favorite conversations to have with people because I just say, well, it's not Catholic. It's just Christian. You probably just haven't been around churches that have leaned into that history very much, you know, which is fine. But I think the takeaway for listeners, so I want to challenge you in a couple of places. One, this is an important truth for you to know in light of what Chris said, that perception is not always reality. And I think for me, sometimes, as you said, Bethany, I have walked with people who have become Catholic and it feels kind of like a bummer, like, oh man, I wish they wouldn't go that direction because I don't think it's theologically the right direction. But it can feel sort of discouraging and you know, can feel like, man, you know, people are becoming Catholic. The stats show that that's not actually very common. You know, it's much more common for folks to move from Catholic to Protestant. So I want to help people see like, hey, if the perception in your life is, man, I guess all my friends are turning to Catholicism. That probably is happening in certain instances, but it's not the broad sweep that's happening across the culture. And the other thing is The other practical thing for listeners is I want you to think about, what do you know about these two traditions? Where is there an invitation for you perhaps to become more familiar with the differences between Catholicism and Protestant Orthodoxy? And what are the place, what are the key places where these two traditions differ? Because especially in a city like Omaha, Nebraska, and I know this isn't true in every city, but especially in a city like Omaha, a lot of your neighbors, you're going to have to be conversant in some basic Catholic stuff in order to have a meaningful conversation with them, because it's their heritage, it's their tradition, it's what they grew up in. You're going to meet, I mean, I would say it this way. I meet a lot more former Catholics than I do former mainline Protestants. Like I don't know anyone who's a former Methodist in my life, or like a grew up Presbyterian Church USA, you know, just those people aren't around. But man, every third neighbor in my neighborhood is a, you know, either is Catholic or grew up in South Omaha or went to such and such high school, you know? So I think there's an invitation here to say, the more you understand about the difference between these traditions, the more meaningfully you can engage as a lover of the people around you, and just as a good missionary for the cause of Jesus and helping people understand the gospel and move toward faith in him. So I thought it was interesting to reflect on this interesting insight that Stephen Wedgeworth drew out, that again, when I first looked at the study, I didn't even notice this fact, but I think it is interesting that the rate of the decline in Catholicism sort of mirrors what we've seen in mainline Protestant Christianity, and that that has some implications for how we think about our own lives and our own mission.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thank you for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We'd love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.